blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 396, stanzas 1, 4, and 6. The Lord is strong to help the weak, upholding those that fall, restoring those bowed down with grief, and doing good to all. 1, 4, and 6 of Psalter 396. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter, Matthew chapter 2. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything and that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he in that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream, and that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou dost permit us once more in this day to come up to thy house of prayer. In the last Sabbath day of this so very quickly bygone year, and so many Sabbaths have we gathered around thy word. One more. In this year, we are permitted to come up again to hear what thou hast to say unto us, and then it shall be finished. and then it shall be done. For the Sabbath days that thou givest in this year, Lord, then it is to us again a message that our life that will also draw to a close, and that thy services, that they also will draw to a close for each and every one of us. Some sooner and some later, but there will also come for us a last time. A last time that thy word is read. A last time that we may hear it preached or read. A last time that we may bow our knees. And then it shall be for us the end. Then the time of grace and the opportunities shall be finished. Lord, thou knowest that by nature we consider not the importance of these things, because our hearts, they are cleaving to all that is here below. But may thou give us in this last Sabbath of this year a little impression in our hearts of the necessity and the urgency of these matters, that they may be bound upon our souls, each and every one of us, that we may not go unto our death hardly considering the need of our own soul, when everything in this past year, all our religion has been form and custom, when it has been nothing but outward show. Lord, could it please thee in this morning and in this day to make it different while it is still a time of opportunity, and that thou may give life in our souls, and that does not exist in us by nature, and which we will never seek after as we are dead in sins and in trespasses. Lord, thou who art the first one, wilt thou come also in this day, and wilt thou draw near to us, though that we are steeped in our sin, that thou wouldst look upon us in and through thy dear Son, and all that he has come to do, in order that he may take the place of those who had sinned against thee, that he may take upon himself the curse that was due unto them. Lord, that we also may be found in him by a true and a living faith, that he may be our only hope, that he may be our only expectation. Lord, we need then to be taught by thy Spirit, and we need to be instructed in our great need, that we also may come to see the preciousness of thy only begotten Son and all his willingness to take upon himself our nature, even as it was after the fall, and to bring upon himself ignominy and reproach, and that he may suffer even before thy face and to thy satisfaction. Lord, is it not enough? Is it not now sufficient in thy sight
and that thou art able also to look upon us with our children. Oh, is the price not sufficiently paid? Hast thou not declared it when thou hast raised him from the dead? Lord, is it therefore not possible and that our sin may be forgiven and that we may be washed and that we may be cleansed? Oh, is it not therefore possible, Lord, and that thou wouldst descend even in this last Sabbath of this year with thy Holy Spirit and to take up thy abode in the heart of sinners and to wash them and to cleanse them and to grant them the forgiveness of all their iniquity? Oh, is it not therefore possible that we and our children may be reconciled to the true and the living God? Lord, we beseech it of thee then, that thou may glorify thy dear Son in that labor that he has descended to do, and that thou may grant unto him a seed that shall serve him, and that that seed may be taken, O Lord, from among us and from our children, though from our side it is so utterly undeserved, and though from our side we continue in our rebellion, but thy arm that is so mighty, that is so very almighty, Lord, it is stronger than that strong man armed. It is stronger than all our rebellion against thee. It is stronger than all our desire after the world and all our cleaving to the ways of sin. Lord, thou art the Almighty One. Oh, come then. We beseech thee from thy holy place and come into our wretched and sinful hearts and work a work of almighty, sovereign, one-sided grace, that we also with our children may be given to magnify and to glorify thy holy name. Lord, we beseech thee then for the application of that which thou hast merited, and that thou may do for us and our children what we are not able to do. O Son of David, have mercy on us, and that thou may look upon us in all our wretchedness and in all our helplessness and all our misery, and wilt thou take us unto thyself. Look upon all thy children. Lord, thou knowest also all their case, all those whom thou hast called forth out of nature's darkness, all those in whom thou hast shined with a ray of thy light, to open unto them a little of the wretchedness and of the misery that they have brought upon themselves in their deep fall. Lord, thou knowest how despondent, thou knowest how discouraged that people can be, because light upon that law and light upon themselves, that is nothing but a discouragement. Lord, oh, could it please thee to remember them in this day, and that thou may deliver them from all their wretchedness, that thou may open their eyes, and may it be for the first time, but also by renewal, and that thou may give thy children instruction, that we may be a little instrument in thy holy fingers for the encouragement of those that are in distress, that thou may do what thou didst come to do, to open the prison doors, to give light unto those that sit in darkness, and to preach the gospel to the poor. Lord, that thou may look then upon us as a congregation. Wilt thou work with might amongst young and old together, and that thou may give that in the midst of us we may flee from all the ways of this world, and that we may walk and that we may have a desire to follow in the ways of thy commandments, and that we may flee all that is sinful, and that our treasure indeed may be in heaven, and that we may be honest with one another and upright to warn one another in the ways against the ways of sin, and that it may be for the welfare of our souls. Look upon all the children and the youth and the fathers and the mothers and the great responsibilities, and that to lay upon us. Lord, strengthen us to do the labors of our hands. Make us faithful. Give the rising generation to know thy power, that they may experience that which may be told even by our forefathers. And may we also not be ignorant thereof, and that our mouths may also by times go open, that we may speak of these matters unto our children. Lord, that thou may remember all thy truly sent servants, increase their number here below, and that thou may help them also in this last Sabbath of this year. Thou who hast promised, wilt thou fulfill it and give us to feel that underneath are thine everlasting arms, and wilt thou grant thy undeserved blessing. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 211, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O God, most holy are thy ways, and who like thee deserves my praise? Thou only doest wondrous things. The whole wide world thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm thy people saved, though sore distressed and long enslaved. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 211. Thank you. Congregation, what an awful state is the state of the natural man. Do you ever feel that? It is the state of death, the state of spiritual death, and then liable also to a temporal and to an eternal death. We would say that it is the entire ruin of the blessed creation of God. Even that creation in which the Lord has said, "Behold, it is very good." And yet also this lay in the eternal decree of God. There is nothing that happens in this world outside of God's eternal decree. And there is nothing that happens in this world that is not serving the end and the purpose of the Lord. Thus, also this, the fall of man, the awful fall of man, though remaining the accountability of man that is serving his eternal purpose. And what is that purpose? The purpose of the Lord in all things is his own glory. His purpose that is to magnify his great name in all his attributes forever and forever. And what is that work in which the Lord receives his greatest glory? That is the work of deliverance. Will the Lord also receive his glory from us and from our children? We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider with you in this morning a portion of God's word which we have read to you from Matthew 2. Matthew 2 and thereof the 15th verse. This part, Matthew 2, verse 15, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." So far the words of our text. The fulfillment of God's glory in the deliverance of his church. First, into Egypt. Second, out of Egypt. The fulfillment of God's glory in the deliverance of his church. First, into Egypt. Second, out of Egypt. Congregation, home. A home. Our home. Our homes, they are a very blessed thing to have a home. Or do you not think so? Children, young people, what do you think about your home? Or do you not like to be at home? Would you rather be elsewhere in this world than at home? Or maybe that also the world that enters into the lives of also our parents, so that they are seldom home. And then we cannot expect that our children would also desire to be at home. By nature, we make this world our home. And indeed, we are given this world as our home for a little while. But that home that is not going to be forever, and therefore we read in God's word that we are to seek and that we are to look for another home, that we may look for an eternal home. When the Lord Jesus was born, he was not at home. Where was he born? He was born at an inn, not in the inn, but at the inn. And this was actually his whole life. The Lord Jesus did say concerning himself that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And thus, he came to sojourn in this world. He came to tabernacle in this world for a little time, and that he may suffer in this world. That suffering was not so very long in waiting. We have heard something of that on Christmas Day. Already in his circumcision when he was only 8 days old. But then we can read that it was not very long before that suffering that is increasing. So that there are greater afflictions and that there are greater humiliations waiting so very soon for the Lord Jesus in his incarnate state. He was not so well known in the world when he was born, and yet he was sufficiently well known in order that he may receive the persecutions of this world. We read in the book of Revelations of a great red dragon and a woman who was ready to bring forth a child, and that great red dragon, he was ready to devour that child as soon as it was born. Herod, who sat on the throne, was an Edomite. And Edom is Esau. The hatred of Esau against Jacob was a perpetual hatred. We see that also in his children. Herod is here, probably in his 70s already. And this man had nothing really to fear concerning this little child that would be born, even when he would be king. And then Herod would be long gone already, but Herod had in himself a thirst for blood. We see that concerning his own children. He did not even desire that his own children should sit upon his throne, because two of them he has put to death himself. And when Augustus Caesar has heard what Herod has done, that he has slain his own son in the slaying of the little children in Bethlehem, and then Augustus himself has declared and that it would be better to be the swine of Herod than to be his son, because he upheld the laws of that time concerning the killing of the swine. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. The trials, congregation of Joseph and Mary, they are not very soon coming unto an end. They are only increasing. And why is that? It is because it is the work of the Lord. Abraham, the Lord, we read, he appeared also to him. And the Lord said to him, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there upon a mountain that I will tell thee of? If that had not clearly been the word of the Lord to Abraham, then we can understand that Abraham had thought it was the word of the devil, because it was so completely against, in the estimation of Abraham, everything that the Lord had spoken in his life. And then it seemed that it was so completely contradictory in what was now happening, that it could not have come from above, but that it had to be a suggestion that had come from below. And now what do we read? That the Lord appears to Joseph to tell him. He appears to Joseph, we read, in a dream. Arise, take the young child and flee into Egypt. Congregation, how does this fit? In all the meditations of Joseph and Mary, how does this fit with everything that the Lord had already spoken unto them in their life? Or did the Lord not say unto Joseph that this thing which was conceived in her, that was of the Holy Ghost? Did the Lord not declare unto Joseph the command that he must call his name Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins? Had that not the Lord appeared unto Mary and said that what that holy thing that was conceived in her was, that he would be the son of he would be called the son of the highest, that he would be called the son of God? Arise, flee into Egypt. Must now the son of God flee? He that shall be great and the son of the highest, shall now he be as one who is just weak and who has to flee from a mortal man in this world? Shall he that shall be great and the son of the highest and the savior of all of his church, shall he be as one who has no power against the fury and the might of a weakling in this world? Oh, does not the Lord have a legion of angels that is able to come to the aid of his children, and that he has to take even to flight? And to where must he flee? Must he flee even unto Egypt? Must he go away with the Son of God from the temple and from all the ordinances of the Lord? Must he flee away from the people of the Lord? Must he flee even unto that place wherein there is nothing but enmity against that true God, and against the true people of the Lord, against the true work of the Lord? The way of the Lord, we sang, congregation, that is in the sea. These are not strange leadings for God's children. No, that the way of the Lord is not so much against his own promises. The way of the Lord is more against the flesh of his people. And therefore, most of those questions are coming forth within their hearts for a long time already. Many, many years ago, this way was already prefigured. We have considered that. In that horror of great darkness, how that the Lord has appeared unto Abram.
And that he has said unto him, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and that they shall serve them, and that they shall afflict them 400 years. And so we see in the way of the Lord's providence the truth of it, and that people in the time of the Lord, they are descending. They are descending down into that land that is going to become to them a land of great affliction, a land of great bondage. Abram sojourned there in a personal way that was in itself a foreshadowing, a premonition of that which was to come. And now, congregation, who can fathom the decree of the Lord concerning mankind? Who can fathom the decree of the Lord that he has made already in that council of peace concerning the fall of man? The fall of man was not an accident. That had not only to do with the sin of mankind. Though man is retaining his accountability. But that fall of man that is laying in the decree of God. Man would descend so deep. So deep even into a pit out of which he was not going to be able to deliver himself. He was going to descend into a land of Egyptian bondage, as it were. And that is what we see in God's word portrayed by this land of Egypt. Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Who is able to fathom the ways of the Lord? Not only did he become a man, not only did he become, as we have heard in his circumcision, as a stranger on the outside of the communion with the Lord, not only did he become in his circumcision, as it were, a sinful man, but he even had to descend, as it were, into that great pit that man had brought himself into in his fall. The language of the human man that is too short to show what that humiliation of the Lord Jesus was, that is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And now why? Why does Abram have to go down into that land of Egypt? Why Israel with his children? Or why indeed man himself to descend into that awful pit of death? And why the Lord Jesus arise, would take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt? Why? Why? All this, we read it here, that it might be fulfilled. There was a reason for all this. This is laying in the eternal decree of God. This is all working to serve the end, to serve the purpose that God has determined for himself in that never begun eternity. And what is now that purpose? Oh, that purpose is his own honor. That purpose is his own glory, although man cannot understand it. Thus first that way into Egypt. Why? That there may be in our second thought a way out of Egypt. That it might be fulfilled. which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Who was the prophet?
That was the prophet Hosea.
And then we read in Hosea 11, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt.
What is Hosea speaking of? He is speaking about the deliverance of the children of Israel out of that land of Egypt. And Hosea is actually referring to the word of the Lord himself. As the Lord has spoken by the mouth of his prophet Moses unto Pharaoh, we read that in Exodus 4, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Thus Hosea speaks, and he refers this firstborn. And the coming out of the children of Israel, out of Egypt have I called my son. And now what does Matthew say? Matthew says that is not all. That is not the end of the fulfillment of that prophecy. No, he says that that prophecy has a greater fulfillment. That prophecy was looking also even further. That prophecy is speaking even about the Messiah. Thus, the history, it is not only what the Lord has revealed to his prophets by way of prophecy, but even the history of the children of Israel, how that the Lord has led them, that becomes in itself a prophecy. Thus, it was not only Israel which the Lord calls his firstborn. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. But the Lord also has another son. The Lord has his only begotten son that is also whom he calls his firstborn. And then it will not only be Israel, his son, and it will not only be Christ, his son, but it will be his sons unto the end of this world. And thus we see a great parallel here between that history of the children of Israel and the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in the first place in the names of these persons, boys and girls. We know who that was. That was taken by subtlety by his brothers and brought down into the land of Egypt, and his name was Joseph. And what is now the name of this man who must arise and take his wife and child, that is also a man called Joseph. And that is not only in their names, but it is also lying in their characters, because these men, these Josephs, they were both men who very greatly feared the Lord. They were both men to whom the Lord has appeared in dreams, that the Lord has conversed with, that he has had communion with. There was a reason that these men are sent down into the land of Egypt, because the land of Egypt will become for them an asylum, that is, that it will become a place of refuge
even from the famine in the land in the time of Jacob, and now a place of refuge from the bloody sword of Herod. We see the nourishment, how that the Lord has provided, even down in that land of Egypt, and that He has given that the storehouses may be so full in the way of His providence that He may care there for His people. And then we see how that the Lord has provided for this poor Mary and Joseph who had nothing. The Lord speaks, and in one night they immediately can rise up and they can go because they have nothing. Oh, they have nothing to take with them, but the Lord has provided for them gold in this world from the Magi that they may receive sufficient nourishment in that land of Egypt. We see how Moses was spared. He was spared being murdered down in the land of Egypt when all the young boys are put to death. He that will be the future deliverer of the children of Israel. And we see how now that the Lord Jesus is also spared, when all the little children are put to death, and He will be the future deliverer of the true church of God. Or what happened to Pharaoh? Shortly after that time, then Pharaoh is also completely destroyed. And what happened to Herod so shortly after this time, he also meets with his death indeed. There is a great parallel between these two times that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." But congregation, for what is it all? For what is it all? It is in order that they might come out again. What did the Lord say to Abram? But He said, in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. And so it came to pass. And that was now also the comfort that Mary and Joseph may receive. And when the Lord did say to him, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt until I bring thee word again." Thus that was their comfort when they may be down in that land of Egypt, when they may be away from the ordinances of the Lord. No, then it was not to be forever, but there was coming a time that they would come again out of that land of Egypt. And it is the very reason indeed, congregation, that they had to go down. The very reason that they had to go down in order that they might come up again. They had to flee that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Thus, it is for this coming up again. It is for this calling out of the land of Egypt. What is this? This is a testimony of the work of the Son of God. What is that work of the Son of God? The work of that Son of God is to deliver. And the greatest glory that God is going to receive to all eternity, that is going to be for the work of deliverance. Where did Israel sing to the glory of God? They sang to God's glory when they were standing on the other side of the sea. And when that people experience that deliverance from the side of the Lord, that is where that people do learn to sing. That is the glory that the Lord has determined that He was going to receive already from that never begun eternity. That is the glory that He has looked for already in that council of peace. And that is the glory that He is going to receive to all eternity by that 144,000 when they are singing that song that no man is able to learn except that number who are redeemed, delivered from the earth. But it is now impossible to be called out of Egypt when we have never come into Egypt. Therefore, the decree of the fall of man, though it remains the sin of man, so it was said already in that council of peace, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and they shall afflict them 400 years. What did Israel, what was Israel? Israel was but a type. And there is a people that are lying in a spiritual bondage of Egypt. There is a people that are now lying in a bondage of iniquity, of sin. They have a power over them, and that is Satan himself. That was he who has driven Pharaoh. That is a power out of which that people are not able to deliver themselves. Do you feel it?
But now what does the Lord say? He says, in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. Out of Egypt have I called my son. He says, it is not to remain forever. And what is now that work that he has given unto his son, that is to deliver the people from their Egyptian bondage? And how shall he deliver them?
Well, he will have to go there himself to get them. He will have to go there themselves that he may fetch the people out. Thus the Father says, are you willing?
Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Therefore we hear the message of the Father given to the angel speaking unto Joseph in the dream, arise, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. It is the execution of the covenant to which that son has agreed to in that never begun eternity to descend in order that he may ascend and bring his church with him. Now that he ascended, who is he but he that has descended into the lower parts of the earth, descended, that he may be subject to every consequence of the sin of his people, to every humiliation, to every degradation, to every affliction, to every persecution, to every suffering, even to death, and the pains of hell themselves descended.
flee. Flee into Egypt. Why? That out of Egypt I may call my son, that I may bring thee word again, and that I may say, it is enough. It is sufficient. The price is paid. My justice is satisfied. And that I may bring him up again, and that I may bring him out of death, that I may bring him again into my glory, and that he may ascend once again into my presence, and that he may bring my people with him, that may glorify and magnify me forever and forever. Shall we sing a little of that song? 422, and the sixth stanza, Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power, and thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. We lift our heads aloft, for God our shield is o'er us, through him alone, whose presence goes before us will wear the victor's crown. No more by foes assaulted will triumph through our King, by Israel's God exalted. The sixth stanza of 422. Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Is that not a great wonder, congregation, that it was permitted by the Father, and that the Son was willing to go in such a way? But God is going to receive his honor by it. Out of Egypt
have I called my son. May that ever become a pleading ground for you as you lay in bondage, having no hope, and without God in this world. How is it with you? Is it hopeless? Is there, congregation, no way? Have you nothing that you may present to the Lord? Can you find no reasons in yourself? Does everything get stripped away? Is the devil too strong? Are the temptations too sweet? Is that sin in your heart too engraven? Is it your own fault? Is your heart too bent on iniquity? Can you now give yourself grace? Can you not make yourself love the Lord? Can you not give yourself a right desire? Can you not love the Son? And does the time go away? Another year, another Sabbath, another year of Sabbaths, so that you fear that you will have to spend an eternity without God, out of Egypt have I called my son, so low, so low did he descend. Why? To deliver a people out of it, to pay a price, to suffer in their stead, ignominy, reproach, mockery, scorn, the wrath of God, even a threefold death, to pay the price completely. To the satisfaction of justice, to pay the price, and then to come up again, and then to come out of Egypt, bringing his sons with him, out of Egypt have I called my son. He was not to remain in humiliation. No, that humiliation was but for a time. He was to come out of it. He went there for a purpose. Why? To deliver. Why? Because he felt sorry for that people. They lay in their misery because they could not deliver themselves. No. No, it was not because he felt sorry for them. It was righteous. It is a just punishment that you and I receive, even spiritual death. It is well deserved. And he is not moved by anything that is on the outside of himself. No, he says, I do it not for your sakes. He cannot do it for our sake. With that, he is in agreement. Can you find nothing in yourself? He cannot find anything in you either. And yet he went. Why? To deliver people in bondage. Why did he go? He went for his own honor. He went for his own glory. Do you know why he went? He went because he desires to hear them singing. He desires to hear them singing on the other side of the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God. And I will exalt him. That is why he went. That he might receive the glory out of Egypt. Have I called my son? No, it is not hopeless. It is not hopeless, young people. It is not hopeless when we are lying in our bondage. It is not hopeless when we are not able to deliver ourselves from our bondage. The Lord had to do it that way. The Lord had to do it that way. Why? That was the only way he could receive his glory. What did Adam do? The Lord says, glorify me. And Adam turned away. No, the Lord had to receive his glory in a different way. It had to be in the way of deliverance. And therefore, our case in this land of bondage that is not a hopeless case. When Israel was a child, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. And so he continues in this day to call his sons out of Egypt. To call them irresistibly by his Spirit through the preaching. He calls them. He does not force them, but he draws them. Quietly, strongly, irresistibly, does not force them. No, but then he will make you willing in the day of his power to make sin your burden, to make sin your grief, your sorrow. In that same world as you used to enjoy the leeks and the onions of Egypt, to make it all your burden so that you will long for the day that you may be delivered from it. And then he does not deliver you immediately when you cry. No, but then that burden that is increasing. Then he teaches you the evil of sin. And he gives you to experience your great helplessness against that sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. No, you cannot imagine that the Lord knows anything about you. And you think that it is lost. And you say it is hopeless. 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 When Israel was a child, then I loved him. I loved him. And I called my son out of Egypt. You say, is this the love of God? Is this the love of God? When I feel so wretched. When I feel so miserable. Congregation, if we still love the Egypt of this world, then we are going to perish with this world. But if the Egypt of this world has become our burden, then the Lord, he is calling us. He is calling us out of that Egypt. And though that time be long, though that time be very long, though that time be 400, although that time be 4,000 years, it will surely come and it will not tarry. Why? Why? Cannot be otherwise. Because he is waiting. He's waiting for what? He's waiting to hear your song on the other side of the sea. O congregation, may it become your pleading ground. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then say, Lord, Lord, wilt thou give me to go out with him, to go out with him undeservedly to the glory of thy great and holy name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, out of Egypt hast thou called thy son. Oh, how deeply did he descend in order to lift that people out who had descended so deep into that pit that they are unable to deliver themselves. Oh, give this one or that one a little hope, a little expectation in thee, out of thy holy word, and that they may cleave to thee, Lord, and that they may supplicate for the mercy of thy only begotten Son. Bring us safely to our homes, and bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon once again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 415, stanza 6. Who is he that fears Jehovah, walking with him day by day? God will lead him safely onward, guide him in the chosen way. 415, the sixth stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.